This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Chris Walton and Long Gene Whitnar. Changed my name.
I like it. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
It's a watch.
Oh.
Remember that? Long Jeans, Whitnar.
Oh, Long Jeans. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Long Jeans.
Long Jeans.
Long Jean Whitnar.
I remember a commercial where a lady gets a brand new watch, and then she says to her friend, I was hoping for a Long Jeans. And I remember thinking, wow, you're not very nice.
Yeah.
Brand new watch.
You just got me this Rolex.
You didn't get me the right kind of expensive watch. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
After 5 weeks on the run.
Don't worry, won't make that mistake again.
Yeah. Yeah. So last new watch you're going to get there, sweet cheeks. Mm-hmm. After 5 weeks on the run, a Tennessee teacher who kidnapped and fled with his 15-year-old student was arrested yesterday, deep in the mountains of Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said?
Whoops. Well, what did he say? I don't know.
I'm glad this is over. 50-year-old Tad Cummins said after his arrest, according to Siskiyou County Sheriff's Sergeant Mike Gilley.
Imagine how easy it would have been had it never happened at all.
Or if 2 days in, you went, how stupid am I? Hey, look, yeah, this is whatever my name is.
Then you drive to the police station and they answer that question.
This is Tad with 1D Cummings. And, you know, I made a big mistake here. Nobody's gotten hurt. Nobody. Yeah.
No harm, no foul. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to try to escape, but I'm dropping her off right in front of the police station at 4:30. What you're going to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, that would probably be a disadvantage if he announced that ahead of time.
Elizabeth Thomas found safe in a remote cabin in Cecilville. And I hate to say it, but I know where this is.
And is it remote?
Yeah, it's near Redding.
Oh, okay.
California. In a remote cabin in Cecilville, it's very remote. Very Northern California.
What's in Redding? Is that Pacific?
What?
There's a college in Redding. Which one? Is it College of the Siskiyous?
Yeah, probably. Okay. The pair spent one night in the cabin before the arrest. They may have been in the area for about a week.
Hmm.
I'm glad this is over. The cabin's caretaker alerted law enforcement to their presence and helped them hatch a plan to draw Cummins from the residence unarmed and without Thomas. The arrest ends a nationwide manhunt that began March 13th.
Isn't that funny? If he's 53 and she's 18,
yeah.
I don't care.
But
since he's 50 and she's 15, it's a bad idea.
The arrest ends a nationwide manhunt began on March 13th. He fled with Elizabeth from their small town of Culioca, Tennessee. Cummins will face federal and state charges stemming from her disappearance. What do you think?
That would be what they wanted him for.
You remember the video from Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Which was very clear and very definitely showed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't words in the English language to describe the level of relief and elation experienced by the Thomas family, said Jason Watley, attorney for the family. Now begins another hard chapter, but for now we celebrate.
Oh, goodness.
The pair disappeared as a police investigation into their relationship was heating up. Cummins had been suspended after a student reported seeing them kissing in a classroom. That would be a good rock song.
Kissing in a classroom?
Yeah.
Not if the teacher's involved.
No, just, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you're sitting in the back and
surveillance
daydreaming,
video,
it would be a cool song.
showed the pair at a Walmart in Oklahoma City on March 15th. But after that,
I've been there.
Probably have.
I mean, there's more than one Walmart in Oklahoma City, but I've been to a Walmart in Oklahoma City.
The break came when someone encountered Cummins in Siskiyou County, more than 2,000 miles from Culioca, and called the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation tip line. The caller, who was a young guy, I saw him being interviewed, said Cummins had taken up residence in Cecilville, 2 hours from the nearest police station. Siskiyou County deputies searched the area, found the silver Nissan Rogue parked outside the cabin. TBI spokesman Josh Devine said they confirmed through the VIN number that it belonged to Cummins.
Yeah.
TBI earlier had said the two were found in a commune, but later backed off that description. The cabin is close to a commune called Black Bear Ranch, but it's not part of the commune, according to the cabin's owner.
Mm-hmm.
Cabin's owner's name is Monk O'Hare.
Monk O'Hare?
Monk O'Hare. He was not on the property. Did you see what they were staying in?
That's kind of a great name.
I like that name. But...
Hey, Monk O'Hare. What?
Did you see the cabins they were staying in?
No, I didn't.
Take a look at this. Yeah.
Yeah, plush.
Hey, I'll take you around. You see the country, huh? Yeah.
Now, those aren't the
outhouses. Looks like I made them.
That's how
bad they look.
Those are not the outhouses behind the cabin.
Nope.
That's the actual, the cabins.
Yep. Not seeing any windows, do you?
No.
All right. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
Could be a strategic reason for that.
Yeah.
Boise police report a shooting occurred in downtown Boise overnight. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. College of the Siskiyous is in Lombard, Pennsylvania. No, I don't know where it is. Jackie knows where it is, though, and it ain't
in Redding,
California. Jackie, good morning. Hi, Jackie.
Are you there, Jackie?
Jackie.
We might have lost Jackie.
Jackie? Hello, Jackie.
You have Jackie turned up and everything? Okay.
Well. Jackie turned up, Jack?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hey, there. Jackie. How are you? How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm fine. Oh, I'm a graduate of College of the Siskiyous, which is in Reed, California.
Mm-hmm. Reed?
No, Weed?
Weed.
Weed, yeah, Weed.
And
you know that sign? You know that sign where the one side points to college and the other one points toward Weed, and that guy's standing there like he doesn't know what to do?
So, where's Reed?
Weed.
Weed.
Where's Weed?
It's north of Mount Shasta and south of Wairika, which is the county seat.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Dunsmuir, California, as was my dad.
You know where McKinleyville is?
McKinleyville. I've got my map out here. I did not find...
It's on the ocean. I used to spend summers there.
Yeah, well, that's about a 2.5-hour drive from Dunsmuir to the coast because I grew up at Gold Beach.
Yeah, it was very foggy there. The sun would come out about 11 and go back in now, under about 3.
The one in Redding, that's Shasta College?
Shasta College.
Okay. And how far away is Cal State Chico?
As far as miles is concerned, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Haven't been there since I was in grade school.
Okay.
The only one I remember from up in there is Humboldt State. Remember that?
That's on the coast.
Yeah, they had slugs everywhere.
At Eureka, I believe.
Yep.
And then there's Cal State Santa Cruz, which is they are the banana slugs.
Yeah.
Or UC Santa Cruz, that's right.
UC Santa Cruz.
Not Cal State.
All right, very good stuff. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Now you're straightened
out. Now we're completely straightened out by that. That's good.
All right. We're talking about this 50-year-old teacher. What was he, 52?
No, 50, I think.
50, and a 15-year-old student.
Yeah.
These guys stayed at one of these cabins in Cecilville. The property's caretaker told radio station... You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
KOBI.
Oh, that's pretty close.
The cabin's caretaker spoke to the couple, O'Hare said. He added that a friend was also on the property and saw them. Here's what they said.
All right.
The friend told him something he thought didn't seem right. Cummins told O'Hare's friend he was 44 and the young woman with him was 22 and they were recently married. He added that when Thomas wanted to share something, she would whisper it in Cummins' ear and then Cummins would repeat it. So she wouldn't say anything.
Because he probably had instructed her not to, right?
Yeah, because she might say, "Help!"
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Their vehicle did not have license plates. He noticed the young woman would not get out of the car when the man got out. The property caretaker called the sheriff's department and helped them devise a plan to capture Cummins. The next morning, the caretaker asked Cummins to come outside and help him build a rock wall on the property. When Cummins went outside, he was arrested.
So it was a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yep.
You know, and like I said, if she's 18 years old, mm-hmm. it's a little different. There's a bit of a difference there. But she wasn't. She's 15, so, you know, very much a kid.
It sounds like, and you always wonder in a case like this, especially when they're 15. Now, when you were 15, you were pretty.
Not really, no.
You weren't, no. I mean, you weren't good looking, but.
Oh, okay.
You were fairly aware of the world and how it worked and all that, right?
Yeah, I knew where it was.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth never tried to get away, never tried to do it. She was in a situation, and it's hard for people who haven't been kidnapped at a young age.
Well, true.
And she was
being controlled. It happens.
Yeah. Her condition was described as alternating between stoic and emotional.
Kind of like most people's.
Yeah. It was a very traumatic experience. Her mood was very alternating. The two obviously have a relationship. Her response to us and to law enforcement escalated up and down. Elizabeth is in federal custody. Arrangements are being made for her to return home as soon as Friday. As of last night, her family was waiting to communicate with her before speaking publicly.
Good idea.
Yeah. After the capture, Cummins was charged with one federal count of transportation of a minor across state lines, which was the Mann Act, for the purpose of criminal sexual intercourse.
We remember that because Chuck Berry just died and we heard about that again.
Yeah. Charge carries a minimum of 10 years.
They got him for that back in the 50s.
He also has other things.
Of course, back in the 50s, it was worded taking a white woman across state lines, but
mm-hmm.
they eventually changed that.
Amazing. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We'll be back after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
It's an Open Phones Friday, KBOI News Time, 9:06. Whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264.
Mm-hmm. Lee of Eagle wrote to say, thank you, Chris, for saying that everywhere had problems. We were talking about natural disasters. I heard someone say last week, that's what you get for living by the river. We don't live right next to it, but we do live in two rivers between the North and South Channels and are concerned.
Yep.
I heard a person on your program a year or so ago say, why do people live where there's tornadoes? I do think you need to be aware, like not live in a trailer in tornado areas or right next to the ocean. But we were informed we had no worries, didn't need flood insurance by city officials, insurance company, realtor, etc. And he says, we lived in Southern California. I guess no one should live in California either because of earthquakes.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking a chance wherever you live.
Yeah. You know, if there are like half a million people living in an area, there are probably half a million different reasons why each one of them are there.
No question. All right, it's an Open Phones Friday. Let's go to Justin. Justin, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just calling in about the Save Boise State wrestling petition that's going on recently.
Right.
Yep, I just wanted to quickly share my support. I've been in a wrestling family. I've done the sport for a pretty good amount of years, and it was kind of honestly shocking to see a team like Boise State decide to cut their program so suddenly like that.
The president of the university came out yesterday and basically said this is a done deal.
Yeah, he said he knows that a lot of people are signing that petition and he's aware of it, but he said it's not going to matter. They're just dropping wrestling and that's all there is to that.
Yeah, and to be honest on that one, that's kind of a just slap in the face to such a successful program for Boise State. I mean, multiple Pac-12 conference titles, mm-hmm. a lot of national ranked wrestlers going to All-American status. It's just crazy to hear that one guy in this system just decided to cut it for a different sport.
Yeah, I doubt if it was a one-man decision. I would think that there was more than one person involved in making that decision. I'm not supporting it one way or another. I'm just stating fact.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just wanted to quickly share my support with the petition mm-hmm. just because I know that, especially for the Pacific Northwest region and everything like that, it's a big deal for a lot of people. I've known people that have wrestled for Boise State and how much it helped them grow in their careers and everything right. like that.
All right, good stuff. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
It is too bad.
It's a shame that the only... You know, Boise State was in the Pac-12, and the only real Pac-12 members left are Arizona State, Stanford,
yeah.
and Oregon
well,
State.
And that is a shame, especially if you're a wrestling fan, that so many schools have dropped wrestling over the years. You know, it started with Title IX. They said there are just way too many sports that the guys can participate in and not nearly enough for women. So they said that it should be equal. The amount of money spent on scholarships for each, you know, for men and women should be equal. And it's always a problem if the college has a football team. Because
it's 85 scholarships.
Yeah, that's 85 scholarships. And then so you've got women's swimming and diving, but no men's. You've got women's volleyball, no men's. That's not that unusual, though. You've got women's soccer, no men's softball, but you know, as so far, no baseball. Just a whole bunch of things like that.
Yep, that's the way it works. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Randy of Jerome. Randy.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. The situation with natural disasters, whether it's tornadoes or floods. You know, they have, geologists have a term for that. It's called floodplains.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and the reason they call it a floodplain is because, you know, during the natural cycles, I'm sure you realize, you know, that there's high water and low water. And, you know, there was always a good reason building above the high water marks. That's why people didn't used to build, you know, right down in, on the riverbed. They picked a high spot because they, you know, even as backward as they were, they knew that they could tell by looking at the gravel and the rocks and all that stuff down there that it was not a good place to put a house. But, you know, even, you know, if the Bureau of Reclamation, even with their projects to impound water, which is, I think, a good thing for civilized people because it gives you, you know, irrigation, flood control, you know, and recreation, all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't account for, you know, the 100-year cycles where the, you know, the twice amount of normal snowpack,
right,
and so forth and so on. So it's you know, I mean, there's weather wherever we live. That's true. You know, whether you live in a trailer in Tornado Alley or, you know, whether you live in the Wood River Valley, you know, like 10 feet from the, you know, from the high water mark, you know, it's not, you know, there's always a chance, but there's some common sense, and then there's just people thinking that, well, you know, it hasn't flooded in 20
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
I've lived here, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Thanks, Randy.
See you, thanks, bye.
Mother Nature never really gets fooled.
No. She ends up fooling you.
But we'll strike back just because of the effort.
No question.
Instant message. It's, you know, Open Phones Friday. We can talk about anything you want to, and there are a number of instant messages as well. Dallas wrote in to say, am I the only one who thinks that this is going to be Dior Kuntz? Okay. He put Badger Hole at the top. Mm. So it was, yeah, a couple of days ago. Two or three days ago, there was a body found, and they said it was a child between the age of 1 and 5, but they can't narrow it down to better than that. In, I guess, a badger hole, which is, I think, just north of Meridian. It's there in Elmore County. And he thinks it may be Dior Kuntz. Now, Dior Kuntz was the two-year-old boy who, 2 years ago, disappeared from a campsite, and they suspected his parents and all sorts of different people for quite some time. But they haven't figured it out yet. He disappeared from a campsite that was, I think, near Ledore, which is kind of up there south of Salmon.
Right.
So, I mean, it's possible if somebody abducted him, you know, they could have. But also the coroner at one point said that. The coroner at one point said it looked like the body had been there for 20 years. So that.
And it's a 5-year-old instead of a 2.
Said 1 to 5, so they really didn't know.
Yeah, but it had been there for a long, long time.
True. So.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Stay on the line. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back at 11 phones Friday. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Morning. Hey, I think it was last week. Chris was, well, the only word I could think of, he was defending Trump's flip-flops and mind changes and everything. But the problem is, it's kind of like a guy quits, you know, you can't pat somebody on the back because they quit abusing their wife. I mean, Trump's ideas, some of them were just outright lies that he was campaigning on, and then some of them were just idiotic. I mean, there was like 19 other candidates on both parties, and none of them said the things he said because they knew they were wrong. So the fact, I mean, the fact that he quits believing something that's just insane it's not like he did any research or anything to come up with his ideas in the first place. You know, I mean, I don't think that's quite the same as someone who has a position on something and over time they change their position. You know, I mean, he was just. He's just coming up with anything that he heard anybody say, and if it got him votes, he'd run with it.
So you're not in favor of giving somebody kudos for just they finally learned something, or I don't know. I don't remember defending him. I probably remember explaining what I thought he was thinking.
Well, his ideas were so stupid to begin with. He should never have been articulating them in the first place because they weren't thought out. I mean, they were just some random stuff that he'd found on some website or something, or heard somebody say. I mean, like China manipulating currency, he was going to do that to get bring back jobs for America, and then all of a sudden, I guess they're not doing that anymore. I mean, no other candidate articulated the same things that he did because. They knew that there was nonsense. He shouldn't have been saying them in the first place. It wasn't like he thought some position out and then, then chased it out. He didn't ever research his positions to begin with.
You know,
Oddly enough, it worked.
I think Trump was looking for feedback, and he really wanted it from, you know, regular people, people who were out there who came to his rallies and things like that. And, of course, he was getting it from them. He was getting cheers and stuff. Now, the economists and the professors and the people who worked in Washington all said, no, this won't work, this won't work, this won't work. But the voters that he talked to, a whole bunch of them loved what he was saying.
Well, yeah, because he was lying to them. But I just don't think that's the same as someone, changing the position because they mm-hmm. thought it through, because he didn't ever think his things through to start out with.
All right. Thanks, Rich. You'd call KBOI rewards code is found. F-O-U-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 670 KBOI. Enter found and earn today's rewards points.
Sounds
simple
like a good idea.
As that. Let's go to RJ Scott. RJ.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in and voice support for Boise State Wrestling. Don't have anything negative at all to say about baseball. In fact, I think there are probably a lot like me that grew up playing multiple sports, baseball one of them, who would be happy to see baseball added at Boise State, but not at the cost of another program, especially a program that's so steeped in success. For years as Boise State football was really, growing to prominence, I was so happy to see that. I mean, they had great success back in the early 80s in the 1AA days. And then to see them grow and become so successful in Division I, that was great to see. But I was particularly happy because we already had a very, very successful, nationally prominent wrestling program. And I just thought, hey, this whole athletic program is really on the right track. And I just feel like this decision is truly short-sighted. There is a solution that could include both baseball and wrestling. It might be a harder path, but I have to say that, as a long-standing member of the Idaho wrestling community, both as a coach and as an official for the last 30 years, if the wrestling community was asked to get behind adding baseball as a way to save wrestling, we'd do it.
Wow.
All right. Good stuff.
That's pretty good.
In
general, I mean, Boise State University is part of the government. It's part of our state government.
Yes.
And just in general, I just think the first thing I thought of when they said, well, we're going to drop this and add this, I thought that is so weird for the government to actually drop something before spending money on something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually they just add. But apparently at the university level.
Well, the other thing, and I heard the discussion a little bit earlier about someone, I think, mistakenly said that this was all, Bob Kustra. And I agreed with the comment that, it probably wasn't all him. But one thing that I think was interesting and troublesome about it is that it did seem like it was an isolated decision. Certainly the student body was not involved. Certainly the wrestling program was not involved.
And it took everybody by surprise.
It really did. And as I said, I think, if you're looking for a solution, looking for a way to do something that's better for the vision of the Boise State athletics program, don't do it in isolation. Look for folks to help you figure that out.
Right.
And I think you got a lot of opportunity there. Hey, I had one more thing I wanted to add too,
sure.
Just in positive support of wrestling. Again, as I said, I've been involved in Idaho wrestling for 30-plus years. Fortunate at one point to be the Idaho national team director and worked really closely with Chris Owens in particular, who used to be the assistant coach there at Boise State Wrestling. But during that time and in all the time since, the Boise State wrestlers have been part of Team Idaho, giving back to the youth wrestling program that we take back to Fargo, North Dakota, and to other points around the country. Multiple kids from around the state, the active wrestlers are heavily involved in that program, and then the wrestlers stick around, too. You look around the valley in particular, but even as far east, I live in Pocatello now, by the way, even as far east as me and as far north as Sandpoint, there are Boise State wrestlers involved in high school wrestling programs literally all across the valley and all across the state. And I just don't see that with other sports. Now, again, I don't want to slam or slight any other sport. I'd be excited to see baseball added. But really, wrestling gives back to Idaho, I think, in a way that's unique.
All right, very good. We're up against it. Late for a break. Thanks, RJ. KBOI News Time, 927.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Just a reminder of the sweet deal of the day. Started at 9 o'clock this morning. You still have time to get in. Meraki Greek Street Food on South 8th Street in Boise. For $25, you get a $50 gift certificate to Meraki Greek Street Food. Absolutely incredible place.
Yeah, what you want to do is go to KBOI.com and sign up where you see the half price deal.
Yep. It's sweet.
It's our sweet deal.
Follow at home. That's mm-hmm. all you got to do.
And we've had some of their food. It's fantastic. And just the other day, I was talking to my dad, and he said that he's been going on the internet on YouTube, and he's finding documentaries about street food all over the world. And it's just fascinating, but Greek is delicious.
Yeah, it is indeed. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Mark of Boise. Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Chris, at the top of the hour, you mentioned you probably would say that there's probably no real safe place you can move in this country. But I tend to agree with you to a point. But having lived in the Bay Area, operating a business down there, family, I didn't want to spin the roulette wheel anymore, knowing that I lived around four major fault systems that could go at any time. And two of them, the Hayward and the Calaveras, are way past their due date for a major seven-pointer, if not larger. So I come up here, you know, almost 22 years later, and, you know, I knew that there was earthquake faults around here, yeah. But you have the Foothills Fault. You have them out there along Hill Road, which created those hills partially there that you see along Hill Road.
Right.
Cuna Fault out there where the cave is out that way. But the interval on those, and knowing a little bit about the background of the state here, I knew that my chances were a lot better here. Now, for people who come up like I did from California or other states, but especially California, because I've noticed a lot of California plates up here, especially in the last couple of years, you know, they go and they buy into Two Rivers and Island Woods. And if you guys remember way back, because you would have callers from construction guys who had worked on Two Rivers and Island Woods, and this goes back to the Nancy Merrill days when good old Steve Gerber, Eric Nordstrom, Stan Bastian were on the city council. A mm-hmm. lot of that stuff was approved when they knew damn well that stuff had flooded through there before. If you remember, they have an office complex going there just south, I believe, of the fork of, or in between the two forks of the river where that silo is. That area used to flood right when you come up. Let's say you're going up into downtown Eagle. You come down the hill from Eagle Marketplace. You go down the hill. As you head down the hill, if you look to the right, which would be towards the east there, you'll see a large office complex going in there. That whole area used to flood. It used to flood all the way across Eagle Road there. And I remember because I actually live in Eagle, 22 years now. I call him Mark of Boise, but I'm Mark of Eagle. So I've been here, and I've noticed these things, and I've seen what's been going on, what's been approved here in the city that should have never been approved. You have real estate agents that, well, I hate to say it, they will lie for the sake of making a commission on a sale. There were framers, construction workers that had called in the show when this happened back, I believe it was early 2000s, and into this show and had said that they remember building out there, remember that they had problems with water coming mm-hmm. up through the crawl spaces.
Yeah, I remember those calls too. And it was, and they were kind of confused. They said, we're happy to go and build something if we're getting paid for it, but I really don't understand why they picked here.
Exactly. And I just heard recently of a family who lives over in Two Rivers that just they're having problems with snakes coming out of the ground now because the water is coming up through the ground there and forcing the snakes out of their hole. So, you know, they know darn well. In fact, who is the guy who owns a big ticket agency here in the valley? Ticketron, whatever it is. He wanted to build a big home. In fact, he has a home, I think, over here still. He wanted to build a big lake where he could race his race boats on it. And I can't remember if the city had nixed it at that time. But if you go walk along the Greenbelt, folks, there, right on the other side of the highway bypass, you look over there, they got a berm up over there. It isn't going to take much to go over that berm and flood that whole valley through there, that part of the valley, which used to be farmland. So I blame the city of Eagle and any city, whether it be Star, Middleton, whatever, that would approve building in places. And since we are going into more bizarre weather now, everybody can admit, whether they want to call it global warming, whatever it is, Mother Nature at work, that we cannot trust these 100-year floodplains set up by the U.S. Army of Engineers or the Army Corps of Engineers. The 500-year, 100-year, whatever, things are changing dramatically. You can see it going all over the world. Floods are happening in places that I was reading about down in South America, Ecuador, Peru. A month's worth of rain overnight. I mean, there are some bizarre things happening. It's going to change the whole dynamics of even people living here in the valley here along the river. And I'll let you guys go with that. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Is Mark saying global warming's real? Is that what he?
You know what? I don't know.
Probably not.
I got a lot out of that, but that might not have been the major message.
Let's go to Kevin. I'm just teasing. No. Kevin, good morning.
Oh, my gosh. I just had a birthday. I just had a birthday for your last caller getting to a point.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyhow, I'm calling about Boise State Wrestling, and I'm driving, so you might have to ask me a few questions. But one of the things you said, Paul Jay, and you and I have known each other for about 40 years or so.
Yep.
It has, and I'm privy to a lot of things that have been going on with this, it has come down to one person. And that one person, as of now, has been refusing to meet with people and has made this decision, saying it is final, that is it. And that's, you know, I would ask you if someone came up to you and said, you're losing your job tomorrow and we're not going to talk about it, that's it, no discussion, you'd be a little bit upset.
No question.
Especially when there are solutions. And there are solutions. And, you know, I was involved in a meeting last night with about 20 area wrestling supporters and business people. And they said, you know, there are solutions to this. But that has not been given the avenue to express yet. So that's been the frustrating part for us.
Yeah, I know it's got to be frustrating. You guys keeping on?
Oh, yeah. We're wrestlers. As of a half hour ago, I think there's 11,500 or so signatures on our Save Boise State Wrestling, and it's just been going up incrementally by the hour. I'm just sort of it's interesting how I'm not sure how to use these words, but it was interesting how the board for the state budget meeting was held the day after this announcement. And so there was no recourse. There was nothing we could do and say, hey, this money can be appropriated here, this money. But they were very quick in adding Boise State assistant football coaches getting a raise. And this isn't about them getting a raise because they deserve that. But I do know, having been a high school wrestling coach in the Round the Valley for years,
sure,
it was so hard to get the Idaho Statesman to cover anything in wrestling, to promote it. But as soon as something negative came out about it, they were right on it. And, you know, if you want to invest in a program, that program will make money. But you got to invest in it. Last year, Oklahoma State and Iowa, two of the major powers in wrestling, the media invest in them. They held a match in an outdoor stadium. Over 42,000 people were in attendance. And,
wow.
42,000 people in football stadium were watching a wrestling match. So they have to invest in this, and they have to see that there are solutions to make this work so that it's a win-win for everybody.
I've got some friends that live in Iowa and also some relatives that live in Oklahoma, and there they can't believe anybody would ever drop wrestling.
No, it's their heritage.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, we're up against a break. Thanks for the call. Keep in touch with us. Let us know what's going on.
I will, sir. Take care. Have a great weekend.
KBOI News Time, 9:46.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jane, Chris on an open phones Friday. Let's go to the phones. Jim of Eagle. Jim.
I'm getting a little tired of hearing wrestlers not give a complete picture of... They are not attending college wrestling, period. Volleyball draws more people than the wrestling matches. I mean, come on. If you keep wrestling and add baseball, then you've got another Title IX issue. What are you going to do that?
Yeah, it's not really an easy problem. You can't just say, okay, fine, we'll keep it.
There are all these guys call, we got solutions. What are they? Nobody says anything about that.
Well, it would have to start with fundraising.
Well, yeah, their big wrestling sponsor apparently has dropped out of that. But they are not high school wrestling. Great, no problem. But the baseball at the college level, the Division I level, where are your opponents for wrestling? There's only 70 wrestling in the whole United States.
Yeah, if there's that many, I'm not sure there's that many anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of a. It's a dying sport, and a lot of noise, but no solutions that I can see or has been mentioned. If you guys are aware of them, I'd like to hear them.
Yeah. Well, we've heard what you've heard.
Yep.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. All right, let's go to Walt Schneider. Is that his name? Walt, morning.
Hello. thank you for having me on.
You bet.
The previous caller was right that the numbers of college wrestling programs has been getting progressively smaller, and it's very sad that that is happening due to the Title IX restrictions across the country at a time when high school wrestling is the most popular it has ever been. We now have high school wrestlers who are state champions that can't even get into a school to wrestle, and that is certainly a shame. Now, wrestling's the only sport that you have people going one-on-one. Players, they learn how to really compete and up close and personal. It's a very, very good lesson for them. And it's the only sport that we offer where large numbers of smaller stature men have an opportunity to compete at the college level. The big team sports all favor large athletes, where wrestling favors the smaller athlete. We need a place for that. And soon we're not going to have any individual sport athletes, which is such a shame.
Why doesn't it transfer over to college? Why doesn't the interest transfer over from high school to college?
It's because Title IX eliminates it, and everybody favors football, basketball, baseball, the sports where there's such large numbers. The football program being counted with the large numbers of players
really
throws the whole thing out of kilter as far as Title IX goes. And that is a huge problem.
The attendance at Boise State Wrestling has been down, though, the last several years. Is it because of the record, which hadn't been great the last couple of years?
Well, there's no question that the more you win, the more people get behind you.
True.
But winning's not the only thing. The competition is the important thing, and over the years, the winning ebbs and flows somewhat, especially if you're not putting any money into it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks for the call.
77 Division I wrestling
schools. Are there still that many?
Yeah. And there are there are close to 130 Division I football programs now, not counting what used to be Division I AA. And there are about 350 Division I basketball programs, but just 77 wrestling teams left. Division II also has wrestling, but there are only 58 of those.
And especially in the West. There's really not very
but you were right,
many
it's like
places to go.
Arizona State, Boise State, or was Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few in California. Wyoming still has it.
Yep, they do. All right, we're out of time. Have a good weekend. See you next week.